Production of Pipe Dreams is made possible in part by funding provided by Mr. and Mrs. Wesley C. Dudley, by a grant from the Mayhead Foundation, and by the support of listeners to stations in the Public Radio International Network.
From Minnesota Public Radio.
When I hear sounds like this, my imagination just starts to run over time. First, there's the delight in the sheer sumptuous quality of the tone. Crystalline, elegant, fragile, yet forthright, as if angels were playing on little flutes. And then the context. This organ at the Wenzelskirche in Naumburg, Germany, is not all that far from Leipzig, where Bach worked in his later years. There is a letter to the Naumburg City Council which suggests that J.S. Bach might very well have been an advisor in the planning of this organ, and we know for a fact that on the 27th of September in 1746, he and his friend organ builder Gottfried Silbermann came to Naumburg to examine and accept this instrument for the city of Naumburg. It was a project of one of Silbermann's pupils, organ builder Zacharias Hildebrandt. And, well, you think of Bach playing and enjoying, and perhaps even had some encouraging words to say during the creation of these very pipes. And it's really quite thrilling to think about. Instruments, their music, and recordings of them these days give us plenty to ponder. As we enter this month of July, a month when 250 years ago the great man Bach set down his pen for the final time, breathed his last, and passed to his reward. July 28th is the exact anniversary of that noteworthy day. But music lovers have taken this occasion, and in fact the entire year leading up to it, not for mourning, but for celebration. Celebration of an artistic genius whose work from more than 2.5 centuries ago still engages our ears and amazes our souls. Bach and his surroundings will be our focus today. Bach's works played on instruments of his time and of ours, pieces from his maturity and his younger years, played by seasoned artists and some whose youthful skill would make Bach proud. Works by the master and by his students, works inspired by Bach, and at least one piece from which Bach himself took inspiration. It's all here. Preludes and fugues, chamber music, church chorale settings, the great Passacaglia in an almost symphonic registration, and even a concerto arrangement for multiple keyboards. If one organ is fine, how about three or four? It's a summer review here of some recent compact discs of music by and around Johann Sebastian Bach. Stick with me to hear the best. I'm Michael Barone, going on record, and you're tuned to Pipe Dreams. Okay now, hang on as we run up the D major scale with both feet on the pedals of the Grand Schanz organ at Sacred Heart Cathedral in Newark, New Jersey. As I know, this is quite a distance from Bach's world. But our connection is our soloist, a not quite 15-year-old German fellow, whose playing ability at this early age likely would have caught Bach's attention. This is Bach's prelude in D, Felix Hell. Does it well.
Thank you.
Bach comes to Newark, New Jersey. That's not an instrument Bach would have known, surely, but what a fun game it is to imagine how he might have used it. Our 14-year-old soloist Felix Hell played, well, you expect it, brilliantly. Hell means bright in German. That was the D major prelude by Bach. Felix plays the fugue, too, plus other pieces of Vidor, Mendelssohn, Willen, Dupré, and Jongen in his recording, which is a production of Vergo Records from Germany and the Schott Music and Media Company. Check our website for distribution information. This is program 2027, going on record. We are on the web at pipedreams.org. Find out more about young Felix Hell there, too. A very different sound world next, and one which definitely would have been more familiar to Bach. We find it at St. Mary's Church in Angermünde in Germany, where Joachim Wagner completed this organ in the year 1744. It combines elements of both the northern and central German organ building styles, and its 30 stops would have given Bach plenty to play with, both in colorful combinations and in rich, grave ensembles. Gerhard Weinberger shows us the way. Some music by Bach, played on an instrument from his time. Gerhard Weinberger performed at St. Mary's Church in Angermünde in Germany. This is the fifth volume of Mr. Weinberger's ongoing Bach cycle on the CPO label. And all of his albums feature historic and sometimes otherwise unrecorded pipe organs. It's music by and around Bach on our Pipe Dreams program here. Recent recordings in review. This next one features an instrument which Bach tested and approved, and he might even have helped in its design. Zacharias Hildebrandt built this instrument at the Wenzelskirche in Naumburg. Bach tested it in 1746. His compositions, you have to understand, were considered by some, including his own sons, to be a bit old-fashioned. But as far as Bach's views on the pipe organ, he was something of a futurist and forward thinker. When it came to organ tone, he loved variety, power, and emotion. And that last is the effect that you're about to experience. It's created by drawing two stops on this particular organ, and Bach might have asked that they be there. One of the stops is called the Unde Maris, or Voice of the Sea, and it is tuned just a little bit sharp of the unison pitch that the whole flute plays, so that the two stops in their sound undulate gently against each other to create this tone of almost sinful sweetness. sensual satisfaction. That's a movement from the F major sonata number 3 by Johann Sebastian Bach's second son, Carl Philipp Emanuel. It was played there on an instrument which Father Bach knew, approved, and very well likely helped design. And that sound of the Undemaris and the Hofflöte stops together, gently undulating, that's a sound that Bach loved. We are at the Wenzelskirche in Naumburg. Bach also enjoyed gravity of tone, something dark and full, and our builder here, Zacharias Hildebrandt, provided for that, too. Swirl of sound, a sound which Bach himself heard, pipes which Bach himself played upon. We are at the city of Naumburg at St. Wenzel's Church, the instrument by Zacharias Hildebrandt from 1746. Jean-Claude Zender recorded this instrument just prior to a thoroughgoing restoration process, which is still underway. You can sample the before sound on this Salit compact disc available from the Organ Historical Society, and then we can wait with our fingers crossed until the restoration is completed and then hear how this very important instrument should sound after. Well, on we go. Certainly the 1962 Markussen organ at the Church of St. Hans in Odense, Denmark, presents a very different effect from the Hildebrandt organ in Naumburg. The intense and brilliant sound here definitely serves this energetic capriccio in E by Bach, which we think was written as a tribute to Bach's older brother, who was his first teacher. Kevin Boyer plays for us. you just tuned in, you might be scratching your head about that one. Thought you knew the complete Bach organ works? Well, that Capriccio in E major usually is played on the harpsichord, but it works very well on the pipe organ. And it is an authentic Bach piece. Kevin Boyer plays it, and several other surprises, on the Markussen organ at St. Hans Church in Odense, Denmark. This is volume 12 from British recitalist Kevin Boyer's integral Bach organ cycle, which appears on the Nimbus label. Not sure whether we're quite at the end of it even yet. It's music of and around Bach here. We're sampling recent releases in honor of this 250th Bach anniversary year. I'm Michael Barone with more. We're going on record with recordings in review on this edition of Pipe Dreams. There's another brain teaser, and a charming one, too. No, it was not by Bach, but it was the creation of his talented and prolific pupil, Gottfried August Homelius, who had a brilliant career in Dresden. That was a chorale setting, Gelobet seist du Jesu Christ, praise be to thee, Jesus Christ. Graham Barber performs. This new release features music of a Bach circle, as it were, works by Bach, by his mentors, his predecessors, and by his students and followers. We're listening to the Christian Müller organ at the Jacobi Church in Leeuwarden in Holland. This release on the British Priory label, CD 520. Homelius was a good composer, but Johann Ludwig Krebs was, I think, without doubt, Bach's best and most talented pupil. He was a great violin player as well as organist, and was immortalized by the praise of his teacher, Bach, who called Krebs the best little crab in my brook. Krebs, after all, the term for crab, and Bach means brook. Krebs was helpful as well as talented. He studied with Bach for 9 years, copied parts, probably had something to do with the lessons that had to be given to the younger Bach offspring and some of the little guys at the St. Thomas School. Krebs also stayed on after his own 9 years of lessons for another 8 years, helping Bach with projects at the Thomaskirche and with the concert series at Zimmermann's Coffee House. Listen as Gerhard Gnahn shows us this E major toccata by Krebs, filled with a sense both of Krebs' youthful virtuosity and his skill at taking on a Bach idea and almost literally running with it.
Thank you.
On Beyond Bach, you might think. Music by an outstanding Bach pupil, Johann Ludwig Krebs, played on the Gabler organ at Weingarten Abbey in Germany. Gerhard Gnahn is the soloist. His recent release of all music by Krebs is on the Naxos label. There is music both virtuosic and sweet, too. I don't even want to think of the caloric contents of sounds such as those. Again, listening to Gerhard Gnahn on the marvelous Gabler organ of Weingarten Abbey in Germany. Some verses on the chorale, Whomever Suffers God to Guide Them. This is from a new Naxos compact disc. It's listed as Volume 1 of the works of Krebs, so given the penchant of the people at Naxos for thoroughness, I dare say we can expect more. What a fine beginning. Just as Krebs learned from his teacher Bach, picked up some of his mentor's ideas and made good with them, Bach, too, learned from others, particularly from contemporary Italian composers of instrumental concertos, and of them, especially Vivaldi. Though Bach certainly created a number of his own incredible Italian-style concertos, he'd often borrow directly from Vivaldi, keeping the notes, but changing the instrumentation. This next actually began as a multi-violin concerto by Vivaldi. Bach needed to put some harpsichordists to work, and so he turned it into a concerto not for violins, but for multi-harpsichords. And eventually, Olivier Vernet and some friends decided that it might be fun to reformat it as a charming conversation amongst four chamber organs with orchestra, and that's what we hear. Members of Collegium Baroque perform this, a new Ligia Digital release. Can there ever be too many organs? Four soloists there. playing little Albertin chamber organs, Olivier Vernet, Frédéric Rivoal, Bruno Morin, and Marie-Claire Alain performed that first movement from a fanciful arrangement for chamber organs and orchestra of Bach's four harpsichord arrangement of what was originally a four-violin concerto by Vivaldi. This and a group of other multi-organ pieces feature the Collegium Baroque Ensemble on the Ligia Digital label. It's a new release of Convivial Bach from France. Borrowing in the Baroque age was a common practice. For one thing, they didn't have copyright back then. But throughout history, one composer will pay homage to another who has shown the way, doing it either consciously or unconsciously. Siegfried Karg-Ehlert, active at the turn of the 20th century, honored Bach, sometimes between the lines. Maybe it was inescapable because Karg-Ehlert taught at the Leipzig Conservatory, and of course the spirit of Bach was everywhere in the air in Leipzig, even 200 years after Bach's death. Jaap Kronenberg plays for us on the Garrels organ at the Grote Kerk in Maassluis in the Netherlands this marvelous music in the Bach spirit by Siegfried Karg-Ehlert. Music in the Bach spirit, surely, but not by Bach, I guarantee. You can find out more on our website. We're at pipedreams.org. This is program 2027. Those were two chorale preludes by Siegfried Karg-Ehlert, who was one of Bach's many spiritual godchildren, you might say. Jaap Kronenberg plays an all-Karg-Ehlert program on this feisty Garrels organ at the Grote Kerk in Maassluis in the Netherlands. It's a compact disc from Lindenberg Books and Music, which is available from Qualitone Imports in this country. Go to the sources. We list them all. New discs in review here. Our website, pipedreams.org. More music to follow. I'm Michael Barone, going on record on this edition of Pipe Dreams. Is good in any year, but in anticipation of this 250th Bach anniversary in the year 2000, there's been rather more than the usual amount of Bach recording going on. At hand are two compact discs of Bach's six trio sonatas, which are both clever technical studies in balance and equality of motion, but also charming Italian-style chamber music for one to play. Jean-Pierre Lecordet recorded his Bach trios on the 1982 Grenzing organ at the Church of St. Cyprian in Perigord in Belgium. This is on the Pavane label. And by contrast, Joan Lippincott of Princeton University recorded her trio sonata set on the 1995 Taylor & Booty instrument at St. Thomas Church in New York City. This is a Gothic Records release. Thank you. wonderfully rich, bold tone from the 1995 Taylor and Moody organ in the rear gallery at the St. Thomas Church in New York City. Joan Lippincott's played that third movement from Bach's second trio sonata on the Gothic Records label. And you can find more about this at the Gothic site on the World Wide Web, gothicrecords.com. Also a recent Gothic release, and splitting the difference in the distance between St. Thomas Church in Manhattan and Princeton University Chapel, where Ms. Lippincott prevails these days, we find ourselves back where we began, at Sacred Heart Cathedral in Newark, New Jersey. At the top of our program, we heard a 14-year-old recitalist from Germany, Felix Hell. He's all the rage of late, both because he's very good and because he is so young and so good. Well, thinking back, Alan Morrison was a very talented teenager, too. Now he's almost 30-something and definitely knows his way around. Turn up the volume and revel in Alan's expansive approach to Bach's youthful masterpiece. The pedal theme comes round and round and round again, and we are absolutely in awe of the marvel that Bach creates. This is the Passacaglia and Fugue in C minor. From Sea to Shining Sea, the Passacaglia in C minor by J.S. Bach, almost orchestrated there at the Schantz organ of Newark's Sacred Heart Cathedral. Our soloist, Alan Morrison, his performance part of a new Gothic Records compact disc release, which also includes, perhaps not incidentally, the sonata on the 94th Psalm by Julius Reubke, who was a student of Franz Liszt, who was a definite promoter of and transcriber of the works of Bach. So, well, it all does link together. Bach's music and its influence never ends. But our time has, unfortunately. Future programs this month will honor Bach's memory in this 200th anniversary year and month. I do hope you'll be able to join me for those. As for the specifics about what you've heard today, a playlist of all of this music is on our website. We are at pipedreams.org. Look under Program 2027. There's plenty of other interesting information there, including some photos of organs, links to other related sites, including one devoted to J.S. Bach himself. All sources for the recordings are listed, too, and you can even listen to this program again on the web. That's at pipedreams.org. But if you're not a web browser, just write for a sample copy of our quarterly brochure. Specify Program 2027 Going on Record when you ask for information. And let us know where you're listening, what your station's call letters are, and what you think about what you hear. Our mailing address is Pipe Dreams, 45 East 7th Street, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55101. Do please send a stamped, self-addressed envelope for the return mail, and better put two stamps on it. Our brochure is a little heavy. And join us again next week for another celebration of the art of the organ, the king of instruments, and the art of Johann Sebastian Bach. Our broadcasts are made possible with the generosity of Mr. and Mrs. Wesley C. Dudley, by a grant from the Mayhead Fund of the HRK Foundation, and by listener supporters of this station and Public Radio International affiliates nationwide. Bach is everywhere. Enjoy him. And until next time, I'm Michael Barone for Pipe Dreams. Thank you for listening. Is a production of Minnesota Public Radio.
PRI, Public Radio International.